Hey, if you're just now tuning in online, we appreciate you joining us here at Navigation Church. We're in the middle of a great conversation called Not a Hostage. If you weren't able to join us live, I know some of you have already reached out on social media that you're stuck at home because you were in a place that some bad weather did hit. So we are glad that you're joining us online. Anything that we do here, we invite you to do there, and thanks for tuning in. For all of us, I need to start with a story about a situation that I've been going through lately. How many have an older vehicle, and when one thing goes wrong, a couple things seem to go wrong? Okay. So my wife calls me the other day and says, hey, the steering, just when I turn, it's kind of going like making this noise. That's what you do when you go to mechanics. You reinvent the noise. And then she just tell me a couple days later, she goes, just so you know, I'm getting to the point where this is getting hard to turn. And then she got to the point where she goes, I have to put my one hand inside the wheel, the other hand over and pull. And I'm thinking, within the next couple weeks, I got to get this fixed. Like, like this seems like an issue that, and or cancel the gym membership. And she's working buys and tries every time she drives. Like, I'm multitasking here. That did not go well with her. So I ended up, it was a power steering hose issue. So got it all fixed up and came home. And the next morning, as she pulled out, I noticed some stuff on the ground. And I went, man, I don't remember there being oil and junk on the floor last night. And so I slid a piece of cardboard under, and after 2 days, this is what the cardboard looked like in my garage. Take a look at this picture. That doesn't seem right. Throw it out there. That seems like a lot. And she was back to the car was making all kinds of whiny noises, and the steering was bad. And now all of a sudden, when you turn the key off, a fan would keep running, and we didn't even know there was a fan in the van. And so, like, I have no idea what's going on. So I called a buddy of mine. He actually goes to church here. His name's Lance. And I said, hey, I need to bring the van back. I think the engine's gone. I think I've blown up the transmission, the gear differential box capacitor, like that's destroyed, and a strut. Like I'm like Googling car words at this point, not making any sense. And I drive it to his house expecting that pretty soon I'm going to just drive this thing, pulling on the wheel to a junkyard. They're going to weigh it, give me $42 in exchange for a minivan that door doesn't work in case anyone ever buys my car for me. Like, don't even use that one. And then I'm going to have to go in debt, and I'm going to have to get a new vehicle, and then I have to deal with car salesmen. Oh, God, unless you're a car salesman, we're so glad you're here at Navigation Church. It's the rest of the car salesmen I'm making fun of right now. You are precious in God's sight. Only God's sight. So, like, I'm just dreading what is about to be told to me. And he lifts the car up, and I'll tell you about me being under the car with him in a second. And as he lifts the car up, he pulls out this little thing and goes, rah, rah, rah. He opens this piece up, and he goes, hey, I found out what's wrong. It's this thing. Can you even see that? It's known as a washer. Or if maybe this will help you better. It would fit on my index, like, oh, yeah, not finding that. So it was one little washer, and he goes, this is it. And I'm going, is that $200? Like, is it a platinum washer? Like, I don't know what it is. And all of a sudden, he opens up this drawer, and I go, what is this? He goes, well, when I'm usually done working, there's leftover parts. Which I begin questioning even the location that I'm in now. And he goes, hey, you may want to pray to your man upstairs, because we're going to need to find if I have one of these little washers. Within 30 seconds, we found it. He slid it back on, so we put the wrench, put it back up, and all of a sudden, the van's working perfect. And now, this is kind of a whole side note before I get into the real sermon. Here's what I want to say. I thought life was horrible. I thought life was destroyed. I thought there was no coming back from this issue. You know why? Because of the mess that was all around me. And until I got to someone who could actually help me, my mind and my imaginations drove my emotions and my thinking. There's some of you in here today that you think your world is such a mess that you will never be able to come back from it. That life around you is just failing and failing and failing. And here's what I want to tell you. Today, you have a washer issue that God can fix with a simple twist of a wrench. Don't lose faith today because you think the problem's too big. The problem's too big because you don't know what's going on. which was my problem. I have to be honest with you. I was with Lance, and it was great. He raised the van up on his lift that's in the garage, and I got underneath there with him. I started looking. Had no idea what I was looking at. I was like, hey, is that the gas tank? And he's like, that's the engine. Oh. And then you don't want to feel dumb, so you're like, oh, the flux capacitor, that thing looks good. We're still good there. And he just shook his head, and he goes, no, that's over by the blinker fluid. I'm like, oh, the blinker fluid. Okay, like, I'm believing anything. And then there's stuff dripping, and I'm like, would this be the issue? He goes, no, like, it. And he finally, I love it. He's basically like, hey, I'll take care of it from here. Because I wanted a problem fixed, but the problem is I didn't know the problem. And there's many times in our life that we want a problem fixed, but the reality is we don't even know the problem. You're standing under the undercarriage of your life, looking up at it, thinking that some osmosis will occur because you're close to a car, you'll understand a car. Not going to happen. You'll just look like an idiot standing underneath the car praying you don't get grease on you. Why? Because they've never had grease on them. Why would you start now? But then we have issues in our life, or can I say this? We're hostage in some places in our life, and we sit underneath the undercarriage of who we are, of our soul, of our thinking, of our mindset, and we sit underneath there going, maybe one day I'll figure out what's going on. Listen, you have a problem, but you won't be able to fix your problem till you get next to someone who knows the problem. And we all have this, and I promise we're gonna spend some time this week and next week in the book of Romans, specifically Romans 5, 6, and 7. And if you've never read the book of Romans, just so you know, it can be a little bit confusing. Paul himself, who's supposed to write this, he actually had someone next to him. So Paul's given the information, the guy's writing it, but then there's times you think Paul goes, well, did I say this clear enough? And let me repeat this. And it's kind of herky-jerky. And back then, they didn't have whiteout. They didn't have the backspace. They had parchment paper, so it was a one-shot write, right? So when you read it, it could become a little confusing, but just over this week and next week, we're going to take time to really unfold a few scriptures, and here's one I think will make you feel better. In Romans 7, verse 15 through 18, it says this, I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do. Can anyone, like, immediately go, I understand that, I get this? Or I would say it this way, for I do not understand why I keep skipping off my keto diet, because what I want to do is be on keto, but guess what? I'm not doing keto after like 3 days, just so you know. Like, that was gone very quick. But what I hate, I do. So there's aspects of my life that I absolutely hate, that I discard, that I feel bad when I get done doing them, and I know I'm going to have to face someone. I know I'm going to have to talk to someone, but yet I still happen to do this. Why do I do this? And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. See, that just got like, what are we talking about? I'm now doing good, but the law is bad, and bad is good, and good. So we'll come back and kind of cover all this in a little bit. As it is, it is no longer I myself who do it, but the sin living in me. Okay, for I know that good itself does not dwell in me. That is, it's my sin nature, my sinful nature. So here's what we're just saying. At this point in our life, Paul's saying to us, there's something inside of us that's a sinful nature, but we can't do anything else in that sinful nature because there's no good living in us. So if you're here right now and you're going, wait, there's good living in me and I am a good person, let's talk about that in just a minute. Maybe we'll agree, maybe we'll disagree, but then it goes on to say this, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. Which all of us would say this, we want to do good in our life, but we seem how we fail to do it. So in starting all this, if I were to come up here and say, today's sermon is this. How many know that you're hostage to something? Raise your hand. Everyone right now, raise your hand. If you're hostage to something, how many would say this? I know I have an issue somewhere. Okay, ready? Today's sermon, stop it. Let us close in prayer. Dear, right? How many more times would I need to come up here to point out that we have issues, and then encourage you to just stop doing those things? How many more practical steps do you need to know how to implement in your life, but you don't actually leave here and practically apply them, or when you try to practically apply them, you just find a different way to do your issue? Or what about this? You need one more book, one more seminar. Because if you had more head knowledge, you would stop doing that thing that all of us have just said, stop doing it. Right? It should be very simple. But in order for us not to be a hostage, it's the why, not the what, that we need to learn. Let me say it this a different way. You keep doing what you're doing because of a why reason. Why do you keep doing this? Why do you keep behaving like this? Why do you keep talking like that? Why do you blow up like that? Why do you keep drinking that? Why? But what we do is we focus on the what we've always done. I've always blown up like that. I need to stop blowing up like that. That's a great thing, but you need to take a step back from that, and we need to discover why we do what we do. And this gets to the point of the first thought that I threw out to you is, you have a problem, but we don't actually know what the problem is. So we've been standing in the undercarriage of our soul going, if I could just stop doing this one act, life would be better. No, the question needs to be, why is it making the noise? Why is it stiff when I go around the corners? Why? Or else, here's what happens. If we don't end up getting to this, we end up getting, go a couple verses down in Romans chapter 7. Here's what Paul ends up saying. What a wretched man am I? Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? So I'm going to give you a quick spoiler warning right now. If you actually like the sermon and you think you'll stick with me to the end, don't listen. This is a spoiler. If you're already bored, you've dozed off once. And let's be honest, I've dozed off once, so this isn't a real good one. So if you don't think you're going to make it to the end, I'm going to give you a huge spoiler warning right here. Paul didn't just say, what will rescue me? He said the phrase, who will rescue me? So in a minute, we really need to get dialed down into that who, because all of us keep focusing on our what, but if you don't know why, you'll keep doing the what, and you'll identify as that. So that's why I want to just take a second here to say this. Paul said, oh, what a wretched man am I. Or could I say it this way? Paul eventually had his unhealthy failures become his identity. The worst thing that you can do is to make the worst thing about you your identity. The worst thing that you can do is take the lowest moment of your life and say, this is who I am. It is so unhealthy and it's so devastating to who you are because you begin viewing yourself through the lens of a deceived life, an unhealthy life. Isn't it amazing how when we had one thing happen to us as a child, it now defines us for the rest of our life? Right? Mom and dad left, or mom left. I can't be loved. No way would anyone else love me because mom never could. Dad hit me because I'm a bad person. Now all of a sudden my identity becomes in this one moment where it was where I connected to a failure. So now I am unwanted, or I am a failure, or I am broken, or I am useless, or I am no good. I mean, honestly, if your mom couldn't love you, no one can love you. Why? Because I'm such an ugly, broken, hideous person. And then here's the craziest things we do. Here's what we do. We take an unhealthy identity that eventually creates unhealthy habits, or can I say this, hostage habits. So we take this unhealthy identity, we take this unhealthy thought or thinking of who we are, and in taking this unhealthy thought, it makes unhealthy habits. Now, these habits that we end up doing all the time, which, by the way, we'll talk about this next week. Do you realize 40% of your day happens without you thinking about it because of the habits that you've created in life? We'll talk about that next week. But right now, we take unhealthy identity, which creates unhealthy habits, or, can I say this, hostage habits, then these bad habits that we do all the time, these hostage habits, they actually reinforce the bad identity we have about ourselves. I am this person, so I'm going to act this way. Oh, I act this way, which proves I'm this person. And we have to end up figuring out, how do we break away from this? Well, we break away because we discover who. We discover why. So now I'm going to jump back. We are in Romans chapter 7. If you're with me right now, say amen. Okay, because I have a little newsflash about this sermon. This sermon is to give you one single thought. It'll come at the very, very end. There's not a whole lot of practical things to give you. There's not steps. Next week we'll cover some of those. But for right now, there's just one thought. And so what we're going to do, we're going to jump from Romans 7 back to Romans chapter 5 right now. And here's it. We've got to figure out why, if we do not want to be hostage to our sins, we have to know the why behind it. And you'll see this. You see, at just the right time, you were still powerless. Christ died for the ungodly. So here's my least favorite part of the sermon, because I want you to like me. And here it is. You are ungodly. Amen. See, no one ever amens that part, because we don't want to hear that. But here, I'm going to prove it to you real quick. You are ungodly because I don't think you're perfect, because God is perfect. Is there anybody in here that would raise your hand and go, no, I'm perfect? Okay, so no one's perfect. So if you're not perfect, that means you're ungodly. So being ungodly just basically means you're unperfectly. Right? That's a real word. It is. Don't look it up now. Being ungodly means you're unperfectly, which means you don't do things perfect. And since you can't do things perfect, which means you can't be God, and it doesn't mean anything bad against you, except you have to realize who you are. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says this, through one man, sin entered the world. And when sin entered the world, death entered the world. The moment death entered the world, you had no chance except being ungodly. Here's the way I'm going to say it. There's a circle over here and a circle over here. Adam, a guy named Adam, made this circle over here through one man, Adam. Adam and Eve were born. Adam and Eve had babies. But those babies, because Adam and Eve sinned, they became sin. And then their babies had other babies. And since they were sin and grandma and grandpa were sin, now the babies are sin. Go all the way to us 6,000 plus years later, according to genealogy in the Bible, we are being born into sin. And we keep looking at our life and we go, you know what? If I could just stop sinning, if I could stop doing this issue, if I could stop doing this thing, if I could stop thinking like this, if I could stop clicking on that, if I could stop sinning the verb. But here's what I want to tell you. You need to come to grips that you are a sinner, a noun. Does that make sense? See, we focus on what we're doing versus who we are, and who we are is a sinner. Because through one man, we are born into the world into sin. And so we keep thinking, here's a way to say it. It's like an apple tree who gets mad that it keeps creating apples. It's the only thing you know how to create. You're an apple tree. So if you have the identity of an apple tree, but you're mad that you're not creating pears, you have bigger issues than you can imagine. But then we are in this circle here, and by the way, it's everybody. And I know this is going to blow you away. I am in this circle. This blows me away. My wife is in this circle, right? Men, you should like do the same thing I just did and kiss up. Billy Graham in this circle. Mother Teresa in this circle. Martin Luther King in this circle. Everybody's in this circle. They were all sinners. But the problem is the good thing is they got to the point where they didn't want to be identified as a sinner. So they created a new identity in Christ. And it says that just as one man entered the world, but guess what? Even when we were still powerless to sin, Christ died for us who were ungodly. Christ died for us. I'm going to say one more time, unperfectly. We weren't doing it right. So what we have to do is we need to start whoing. I've already messed up one word today. I might as well keep it up, right? We keep trying to do different. And I want to tell you now, it's time to start who different. So here's the overview of the entire sermon today. The entire sermon today is going to give you one practical point that you can walk away with. But the goal is not for you to have this one phrase that you say over and over. The goal is to get a mind shift change, a thinking change. If I was giving you financial advice right now, I need to get you out of a scarcity mindset into an abundance mindset. And it's amazing what happens when our mind shifts about a situation. It's amazing when we start thinking different, because when you start thinking different, you start believing different. When you start believing different, you start acting different. After you start acting different, guess what? Things are different. So this entire thought that I want to give to you today about you are a sinner, and by the way, if you're offended by that, I apologize, but you know this is true in your heart, because how many times have you ever done something and mom and dad, husband or wife, police officer or not, wasn't anywhere close, but the moment you did it, you felt dark inside? Who told you to feel dark inside? Who told you to feel empty? Who told you to feel regret? Who told you that a year later, when the phone rings, your mind goes back to that situation and you regret having done that? Who told you that, other than there's a thumbprint of God on your life and be the image that you've been living in over here in Adam? There's a God who so loved you that he gave his life for you to move you over into a different image. So I'm trying to get you to view your hostage situation different today. It's not what you are doing. It's who you don't understand who you are. Why? Because in Romans chapter 5, verse 15, it says this, but the gift, who's the gift? Jesus Christ. It'll show you that in a minute. It's not like the trespass. Who's the trespass? This is back to our Adam circle, the guy who sinned. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow the many? If this one circle, Adam, created so much death, here's what Paul's saying. How much life can this circle over here come and get? How much grace can we find it? So what are the practical steps that I want to give you to move you from this circle of Adam to this circle of life, Jesus Christ? I'm looking forward to giving you all that next week. And that isn't a commercial. That isn't a hook. That's the reality of today's all about trying to get you to think about your hostage situation different. What you're going through different. Because if we focus on the, I need to stop this, I need to stop this, I need to stop this, the what that's deep down, or the why that's deep down, will just figure out a different way to come back up. It'll find a different addiction. It'll find a different form of manipulation. It'll find a different relationship to come to. And so if we go back to Romans chapter 7, verse 24, and we go to Paul saying who, if we get the who to connect with, the do will help us find freedom. We keep thinking the do will help us find freedom, but I want to tell you this, the who is going to help you find freedom. So just as a single act of sin, Adam, ensures us that we were born into sin, so did one single act of Jesus free us from that sin to give us life and life abundance, where we're no longer hostage to sin. So that's the mindset I want you to change. Stop saying that I'm sinning and say that I'm a sinner. You know, there's one thing that in our words that matter, and it's when we're identifying ourselves. If you are part of the AA program, I love the AA program. I think they've done amazing things. In no way, shape, or form am I judging, attacking, or laying a grievance against an AA program. Can everybody hear that I'm saying that right now? But there is one thing that they do that just doesn't settle 100% with me, and here's what it is. You can be in the program 1 year, 10 years, or 20 years, and you always start off by saying this. Hi, my name is, I'm an alcoholic. And here's the one thing that it doesn't settle with my theological boring, which by the way, they don't confess to be, they ask you to find a higher power. So again, I'm not condemning them. I want to make this so clear, because if you get offended by me by saying this, you heard me wrong. Like, I'll be that blunt about it. But sometimes, if we continue to identify past problems as present situations, we'll never get to our future freedoms. And there is something about identifying ourselves different that can change the world around us. And again, if you're a part of AA, I always will support the program. I'm always going to send people. I'm just telling you, it's this one mental thing for me. Can everyone hear what I'm saying? As a pastor, I promise, there's times that you say things, you put your foot in your mouth, and you don't mean to. I'm trying not to at this point. We have amazing partners here that have led AA programs for years, and it's absolutely fantastic. But what if, and again, this is David, I'm not trying to change the program, but what if we said, hi, my name's David, I've overcome the sin of alcoholism. Like, that just turns me on just a little bit. You know, just, hey, hi, my name's David, I used to be an adulterer, but guess what? I am a committed follower of Jesus Christ who loves my wife and is laying my life down for my kids. What if those words begin to change and I take myself out of this thing that I'm a sinner? No. I'm done sinning. I'm going to find my identity in Christ. Listen, my name's David. I used to be addicted to spending money, but now I lay up an inheritance for my children's children. I'm changing the circle that I'm running in. Why? By changing the words that are coming out of my mouth. And I want to say this. If I don't know the words to use, here's the words I'm going to use. My name's David. I am no longer a hostage to sin. So you know what we do? We don't want to use the word sin. We say, I don't want to be addicted to cigarettes, or I don't want to be addicted to Facebook. I don't want to be addicted, or I don't want to scream. I don't want to lust. I don't want, like, we put the what in that category. But what if we put the identity of the old who in that category and said, I am no longer a hostage to sin? Because I promise this, the moment you say sin out of your mouth, your mind knows exactly what you're talking about. Right? Can we all agree with that? Because right now, we started today's sermon, and we said, if I came up here and said, how many have an issue? We all raised a hand. Stop doing it. We can't, because we're standing underneath the carriage of our soul going, I don't know why I do it. You do it because your old identity is found in a death man named Adam. But today, I want to tell you, your new identity can found in the living life of Jesus Christ. And it changes the way you talk, which means it changes the way you think. And after you change the way you think, it changes the way you behave. And somehow, this is crazy, just somehow you get into a future and it's new and it's different. And so today, here's your take home. Number one, I'm hoping that you have a mind shift change on places that you are a hostage. You are a hostage because you're worried about sinning, not identifying that you're a sinner. But then the second thing is, this next week, and when you walk up to the thing that has been your issue, here's what I need you to say it. I am not a hostage to sin. So I'm going to practice it right now, all of us. Repeat after me. I am not a hostage to sin. One more time. I am not a hostage to sin. I feel faith building right now. We got to do that again. I am not a hostage to sin. Okay, let's imagine this. Imagine your sin looks like a burglar about to break in your house, gun in hand, mask with gloves on, doesn't care if it's going to kill you or your family to get your stuff. How would you say it? Would you say it, I am not, or would you go, I am not a hostage to sin? Let's say it like someone's breaking into your soul right now, trying to kill you. Say it with me. I am not a hostage to sin. Could you imagine if we started getting that violent against the sin nature that keeps trying to rise up inside of us? Could you imagine if we started getting this violent going, no, the law of sin and death no longer lives inside of me because I am not a hostage to sin. Could you imagine the thing that keeps tearing your marriage apart? You finally look at it and go, my marriage is more important than this desire. I am not a hostage to you anymore. Could you imagine the thing that keeps breaking your relationship? Apart. Every time you go to work, every time you go to school, every time you call your friends, this thing, because you are so insecure about who you are, and you look at it and go, I am not a hostage to sin. You know, in the Word, there's times where it actually says that Jesus got angry. I would say this, maybe it's time to get angry at the thing keeping you hostage. And here's the crazy thing, there's a chance it's because you're holding the key. There's a chance every time it goes, and again, no attacks, no assault. I'm an alcoholic. You lock it back up. I'm a failure. I lock it up. I'm a bad father. Lock it back up. Versus saying, I'm no longer a hostage to you. And you start throwing open the doors that have held you so tight. And let's be honest, some of us have struggled for 5, 10, 15, 25 years, and you can't even dream of the day that you no longer are hostage to this. Yet there's a living God who gave his life to you standing outside the stage cage just going, there's a new identity to be found. So I need everyone to say this with me as like it's standing right in front of you. I am not a hostage to sin. Today, that can be true in your life. Because you move from this circle of Adam to a circle of Jesus. Jesus, it was so clear in here that it was a gift to you. While you were still a sinner, while you were still ungodly, while you still were imperfect, Jesus came and died for you so that you can have a life and life abundant, so that all these chains that hang on you, this shame, this guilt, this despair, so you can have life and life abundant. We believe here at Navigation Church that 2,000 years ago, a man named Jesus Christ stepped out of heaven into earth, and it would actually make him a God-man, and he walked the earth for 33 and a half years for us to eventually die on your behalf. And in dying on your behalf, this little Adam circle, he made a way to come to the little Jesus circle so that you can have a new identity in Christ. And so the who that you're looking for, you come to full understanding when you know it's whose you are. So if you're here today and you're ready to take your first step to no longer being a hostage, I would say this, it's understanding that Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior, and you want to give your life over to him. And actually at Navigation Church, one of the things we do, we just ask people, like, if that's you, raise your hand, let us know that you want to make a salvation experience or decision today. But in order to make you as comfortable as I can, could I just ask, if you're here, could you just close your eyes? If you want to bow your heads, bow your heads. If you want to put your hands on your face, whatever it might be. And here's what I'm actually asking. I'm asking you to honor the people around you that may be ready to make this decision, but the thought of raising their hand in front of a crowd this size just makes them timid. If you could just honor, because I'm guaranteed there's people here today that are ready to no longer be a hostage. And the same question I'm asking here, I'm asking you online today, and that is this: are you tired of being a hostage to your sin? Are you tired of trying to do life by yourself? And you've been coming to church, you've been exploring church, you've been trying to figure out what this Jesus thing's all about, but somehow today it seems to make sense to you a little bit more that someone died so that you can live. If you're here today and you would like to make Jesus Christ your personal Lord and Savior, with eyes closed all around the room, no one's looking at you but just a few of us, I'm just going to ask you to simply raise your hand in the air just so that I can see that you've made that decision. And if you're watching us online right now, I'm going to ask you to do the very same thing that hands are doing around this room, and that is simply this. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. You could be by yourself. You could be driving in a car. It may feel awkward to you, but today's the day that you know you need to respond. And it's simply as raising your hand and repeating this prayer with me. Could I ask everyone to say this prayer with me? Dear Jesus, today I no longer want to be a hostage to sin, but I can't pay the bill. But I know that Jesus already has. So I accept the free gift of salvation. Become Lord of my life and forgive me of my sins. And from this day forward, I follow you, Jesus. God, I thank you for every decision that was made. I thank you for every person online that has been touched today by your ministry, your gifts, and your power. But now, God, I pray for every single person sitting around this room right now that they have felt hostage in their life. They've felt behind bars for a long period of time. God, we have started 2019 talking about freedom. But God, I believe there's going to be a lot of freedom in this room, because there's going to be those coming behind us between now and Easter that are coming with bondage, and we need more people that have gotten out of the ditch to help those that are currently in it. We need those that are coming out of the cell to help those that are still locked in the cell. So God, on this day, we thank you for the freedom that's occurring all around this room. We thank you that we are no longer being identified on what we've done and have unhealthy mental pictures of who we are. But God, we are finding a new identity in Christ and Jesus today. Anytime the old tries to rear its ugly head, I pray you rise up inside of us, Holy Spirit, to say, I am no longer a hostage to sin. Let it be our rally cry today. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Hey, if you believe that together, I feel like there's an energy. If you believe that, put your hands together right now. Love it.